Finally, the Desmond Ridder era is here. We're going to talk about what took so long and why I think this is more than just a four-game audition and how this may be the beginning of a brand new era of Falcons football.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and a.k.a. the most humble host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And, of course, guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available Monday through Friday in a variety of podcast platforms, including on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube. You will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And of course, you can also get the video version of the podcast on Roku and Amazon Fire TV by downloading the Locked On Sports Atlanta app on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So, guys, it is unofficially official. Desmond Ridder is the Falcons' new starting quarterback. The news broke Thursday morning. Several people have confirmed it. We'll get sort of the official announcement probably Monday. And Arthur Smith indicated that nothing would be sort of decided until then. But, you know, these things tend to leak in NFL circles. And we'll probably get more information on how and why the Falcons made this decision from Arthur Smith on Monday. So we will, you know, sort of continue to cover this quote unquote developing story. Although we've been speculating for several days that this move was likely to happen. So Desmond Ridder will start against the New Orleans Saints in week 15 after the Falcons bye week this weekend. The expectation is that he will start the next four games, and I think he may start beyond the next four games and be the starter heading into 2023, but we'll get more into that later on today's episode. Let's sort of talk about how we got here. And regular listeners, you guys already know this. We've been talking about this, you know, pretty much consistently for the last several weeks and months, but I'm sure there's a couple of you that, you know, have not been regular listeners or checking back in after missing Locked On Falcons for the last couple of weeks. I'm sure there are plenty of new people sort of trying to get the lowdown on this sort of big breaking news here for the Atlanta Falcons. So for those of you, you know, Marcus Mariota has been the Falcons starter for the first 13 games this year. We all kind of, or most of us, thought he would be the bridge starter this year. It was just a question of how long that bridge would be, right? I expected it to be maybe half a season where he would be the starter before tossing the keys over to Desmond Ridder, if I can mix my metaphors there. Obviously, that went a little bit longer than expected. I think a lot of that was owed to some of the relatively early success the Falcons had this season, getting off to a relatively impressive 3-3 start this year. And then you had that sort of culminating with that third win in that week six matchup against the 49ers that surprised a lot of people. That was Mariota's best game. And I think that kind of extended his leash a little bit longer as the Falcons continue and maintain in playoff contention, but sort of have been on the outside looking in and further have been being pushed outside that bubble these last couple of weeks with, you know, falling to a 5-8 record since week six. But, you know, after that 49ers game, then the Falcons had a kind of a disappointing loss the following week against the Bengals, where they fell behind in that game. And basically the conversation since then has been, can the Falcons evolve their offense, right? Can they get better at throwing the football to sort of get back into these football games like that we saw them struggle to do against the Bengals? And basically for the last seven games, since that Bengals game, they have really struggled to, or last six games, I should say, since that Bengals game, they've really struggled to do that. And it kind of all came to a head this past weekend on Sunday in their loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, throughout this season, every time the Falcons have been behind in games, they've had some success getting back into those games by running the football. And that was also true in the Steelers game, but it just wasn't enough. Mariota's inaccuracy, some of the questionable decisions kind of culminating in that sort of game-sealing interception to Minkah Fitzpatrick at the end of that game, I think, was sort of the final straw for Arthur Smith, as, you know, we have not seen the evolution in the progression from this passing attack to match the Falcons' high-flying rushing attack, you know, to keep this team in playoff contention. And so I think that's the main reason why the Falcons are making this move now. It may be too little too late for some folks. We'll get more into that later on today's episode. But now that Ridder is the starter, you know, a lot of us have been waiting for this day since the preseason, since he had that very strong preseason. And that's a big reason why I think this is going to be more than just a four-game audition. I think that instead, this is really a prelude to what could be several years as the Falcons starter. And we'll get into exactly why I think that as we continue today's episode. But guys, I want to tell you that this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Unfortunately, life does not come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. And, you know, I have those same feelings. And I linked up with BetterHelp this summer to help me navigate some of those twists and turns. And BetterHelp Online Therapy is going to assess your needs. They're going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. I know for me, I wanted another person of color as my therapist, and BetterHelp was able to give me a great list of options there. And I've been with the same therapist for the last several months since August. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help, but it's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. You can log on at any time, send a message to your therapist. You can do weekly video or phone sessions. A big reason why I finally signed up is because BetterHelp is a lot more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is also available. I now think of this as an affordable investment in myself. And if you're looking to make a similar investment, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon. And guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the expert opinions and insights that only Locked On can provide by subscribing to Locked On Sports Today, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. So part of the reason why I'm so confident that Desmond Ridder will be the Falcons starter moving forward, we'll break it down. But in order to talk about the future of the Falcons starting quarterback position, let's go back to the past, right? Let's go back to the timeline events that led us to this point, and going back to the different phases of the Desmond Ridder hype train, if you want to call it that, going back to the post-draft era after May and back in May and June, and, you know, sort of having, you know, being a lot more skeptical over whether or not Desmond Ridder was going to be the Falcons' long-term answer. And a lot of the conversation back then here on this podcast and elsewhere was whether or not, you know, we needed to see Desmond Ridder this season, at some point this season, to give a good assessment of his ability to see if he could be the guy, or if the Falcons were going to have to dip back into the quarterback pool, especially in the 2023 draft class, because at that time expectations were that the Falcons were probably going to be a bad team this year, were probably going to be picking in the top five this year, and there was the potential that there were going to be some real studs in that 2023, in this upcoming 2023 draft class, that the Falcons would want to, that could be their sort of franchise long-term quarterback. But as time wore on, particularly in July, when I actually started to sit down and watch guys like CJ Stroud, like Bryce Young, I became less enamored with those guys, with this upcoming class, right? And it planted some doubt in me over whether or not those guys would be the answers, or be better answers than necessarily Desmond Ridder. CJ Stroud especially was one guy that I was very skeptical about his place in future in the NFL. And, you know, that's something that we'll probably continue to explore this offseason on the podcast, talking about this 2023 draft class. But that sort of planted doubt in me over this upcoming draft class, and sort of by proxy was like, okay, well, maybe Desmond Ridder is going to be the answer. And then that was only further solidified in August when we actually got to see Ridder on the field in the preseason. And the realization was like, this guy can actually play based off his preseason performance. And I probably didn't say this at the time, but when I think back to the last 15 or 20 years of watching Falcons preseason games, I would put Desmond Ritter's performance in this past preseason up with any other quarterback I've seen. That maybe Matt Ryan is probably better than him. I don't really have distinct memories of Michael Vick's preseason performance. I assume they were good, but you know, outside of Matt Ryan, I can't think of another Falcons quarterback that has performed as well as Desmond Ritter did this past summer. And so that led to some people wanting him to start week one because it's like, okay, this guy's ready to play right away. Let's see what he has. I was a lot more hesitant of that notion because I had major concerns about the Falcons offensive line and their ability to protect him. And I didn't want to necessarily see him ruined playing against some of these really dominant pass rushes. Now we've seen in the months since that the Falcons offensive line wasn't an absolute disaster. So it did feel like, okay, maybe we can get Ritter out there sooner versus later. Right. And there's been even more evidence in recent weeks, the last three games in particular, where it does feel like the offensive line maybe even playing better than they were earlier in the season. And so that gives me a lot more confidence moving forward that Ritter can find success once he does see the field, which we will see very shortly. That progression from that post-draft of being like, I don't know about this, to finally seeing him in the preseason is a big reason why I'm optimistic that this is not just a four-game audition. And the comparison I would like to use, and I've often used on this podcast, is similar to the Richie Grant situation. And again, for any of you that are checking out the show for the first time, or you know, maybe you're not as familiar with that, but Richie Grant was a safety that the Falcons drafted a year ago in the 2021 draft in the second round. And we had high expectations for him as a rookie. And the expectation was he was going to immediately come in, win a starting job, beat out one of these sort of mid-tier stopgap veterans like Daron Harmon or Eric Harris for one of those starting spots. He did not do that, barely played through the early part of the 2021 season, and only really saw the field when there was a season-ending injury to their nickel cornerback Isaiah Oliver, and Grant, rather than playing safety, wound up playing kind of out of position as a nickel cornerback for the remainder of the year. And that sort of raised red flags about Richie Grant's future and whether he would live up to those expectations to be a quality starter in the NFL. And while I had some concerns at that time, I wasn't necessarily panicking because we've seen this before with former Falcon safeties where Thomas Dekou and Willie Moe were guys that barely played in their rookie seasons, but then went on to wind up being Pro Bowlers. So I was still optimistic that Richie Grant could turn into a good player. And we've seen sort of him, you know, I wouldn't say blossom into a great player, but he's having a solid year. And again, I know the Falcons defense isn't full of playmakers or anything outside of Grady Jarrett and AJ Terrell, but I would probably argue, I think most people would probably agree with this argument, that Richie Grant's probably been in, you know, the third most reliable starter for the team on defense this year, the third most impactful. He's certainly in the top five alongside guys like Taquan Graham and maybe one or two other, Isaiah Oliver, you probably throw into the mix as well. So like it feels like when in hindsight, when you look back at the quote unquote panic that a lot of people were having, the worry that they were having a year ago when it came to Richie Grant's future, it does feel like, you know, it was unnecessary at that time. And, you know, to me, it's a similar situation with Desmond Ritter, where I feel like there's been a lot of sort of consternation and frustration and hand-wringing about, well, why isn't Ritter seeing the field yet? Does that mean something is wrong with him? And, you know, regular listeners of this podcast know that it's rare for me to heap praise on the Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot regime, not because I have any beefs with them, but basically my mantra is I'm going to hold my applause to the end to see whether or not they do a great job before heaping too much praise on them. But I think one of the things that you can certainly say about them in their first 23 months on the job is that it's become increasingly clear that when they draft these players, they do have plans for them. Right. And I think their plan for Desmond Ritter is similar to the plan that you saw manifest itself from last year's draft class with players like Richie Grant, Drew Dahlman, Taquan Graham, guys that barely played as rookies and carved out starting roles in their second years. You saw other players in that draft class, you know, get marginal playing time and may not be starters right now, but, you know, or at least permanent starters like Darren Hall and Avery Williams, but have bigger roles on the team. And I think the other factor, it comes from that 2021 draft class where, you know, you had a player like Jalen Mayfield, who the Falcons kind of threw to the wolves and really struggled as a rookie. And I think the Falcons have been hesitant to do the same thing with Desmond Ritter. And that's been a big reason why they've been so patient with him, you know, staying on the bench for potentially the entirety of the season, although now they're making that change. And again, I think that has led to a lot of people mistakenly not learning those lessons and not really looking at that situation and mistaking that, oh, given Mariota's mediocrity, it's like if Ridder isn't, you know, hasn't taken his job at this point, it must be that there's something wrong with Desmond Ridder. It must be that this regime is down on him. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think it, in fact, reinforces the idea that they have a plan that goes beyond, hey, we got to throw him out there in year one to see, you know, what he is. And they have this sort of rushed timeline, you know, and I think that timeline is very different from the timeline that I think a lot of fans and a lot of media people had for this Falcons, particularly at the quarterback position heading into the season. And so for those reasons, that's why I don't really, you know, I have a suspicion. I don't know. Time will tell. But I have a strong suspicion that this is not just a four-game audition. This is, in fact, a prelude to what the plan would likely manifest itself next year, where, you know, their original plan was probably, you know, to sit Ridder his rookie season, you know, make a playoff push under Marcus Mariota. And, you know, Ridder would come in next year and potentially unseat Mariota for the starting spot and win a camp competition, a competition that did not, you know, manifest itself this past summer. And then Ridder would, you know, now with a year under his belt and comfort in the system and all these things, you know, with a better supporting cast around him, given the Falcons are going to have, you know, a lot of cap space and be able to build up, you know, hopefully a defense, especially, and maybe improve, make some improvements along the offensive line, Ridder would be able to be inserted into a much more favorable situation where he can kind of hit the ground running immediately in 2023 and beyond and be that Falcons starter. But now, it, you know, obviously it's coming a little bit earlier than that, in part due to Mariota's struggles and the lack of progression, the lack of evolution in this Falcons passing game. And so now we're going to get to see that a little bit earlier than maybe they had ideally desire to show in these final four games. And so I think it's more than fair for people to wonder if that's the best plan, given the scrutiny, given the importance of the quarterback position. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Falcons to find their guy, their franchise quarterback, sooner versus later. And so that has been, I think, part of the reason why so many people have wanted to see Ridder, myself included, you know, sooner than this point going forward. But, you know, I think slow playing Desmond Ridder's development certainly it has the potential to be risky, right? Because you don't necessarily want to have that question looming over the entire offseason. Is Desmond Ridder good, you know, before you can really show that when you have potential options to go out there and get some other different quarterback this offseason and not have a, you know, maybe not a definitive answer, but at least somewhat of an answer. And, you know, these final four games will hopefully inform any decisions moving forward for the Falcons. But when it comes to the conversation of is Desmond Ridder good, I have the belief that he will be good. And I'll explain why as we wrap up today's Locked On Falcons. But first, I want to tell you about Prize Picks, a fun new way to play daily fantasy. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds to enter, and I can't wait to see what Prize Picks projection is going to be for Desmond Ridder in his debut start next week against the Saints. But whether you're looking for those projections for the NFL in week 14 or week 15, or you're looking for projections in the NBA, NHL, World Cup, college sports, esports, so much more, Prize Picks is safe, it's fast, it's easy. It's currently in operation in over 30 states in the U.S. and Canada. Just download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up. And first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That means if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100 to play with. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. So regular listeners of the Locked On Falcons podcast know it's relatively rare for me to express optimism about the Atlanta Falcons on this podcast, right? You know, so I think today you should make a special note of this, because I think one of the reasons why people continue to listen to the podcast despite that is that they know that I tend not to blow smoke up your butt, right? Like if I'm saying a thing, it's because like there's evidence to support it, whether it be stats or, you know, film study or whatever. I'm just not saying a thing just to say a thing, or saying a thing just because it sounds good. So when I say that I do think Desmond Ridder is going to be fine as the Falcons starter for these next four games, you know, I think you should take heed in that. Right now, I'm not expecting him to light the world on fire for these final four games, because there will be challenges. They'll be facing some, you know, semi-formidable defenses in three out of their final four games, with, you know, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Ravens all sporting top 15 defenses, according to Football Outsiders DVOA metric. But I am open, much more open to the possibility that he could certainly surprise and impress us, similar to what we saw him do in the preseason, and exceed those expectations as he did this past August. And one of the things that we talked about back then was whether or not the floor was going to be higher for Desmond Ridder in this offense than we saw under Marcus Mariota. I still believe that it can be, but I also believe, which was something that was different from what I thought in the summer, was that the ceiling for Desmond Ridder would also be potentially higher. Part of the reason why I thought the ceiling and floor would be different, for, you know, the ceiling for Mariota would be higher, the floor would be lower. Again, part of the Mariota coaster with the highs and the lows. But I thought, you know, Mariota's playmaking ability, that ability to get, you know, extend plays outside the pocket, make those off structure throws, you know, would raise the potential ceiling for this offense. But I kind of feel like, you know, given what we saw this season, that did not necessarily manifest itself to the degree that I thought it would. But, you know, part of the reason why I think the floor is going to be higher for Desmond Ridder is because I'm very confident that Arthur Smith is going to do his utmost to take the burden off of him with his play calling, right? Because that's basically what he's been doing for the last 13 games with Marcus Mariota at the helm. He's basically operating an offense like he has a rookie quarterback, despite the fact that Marcus Mariota, you know, has 7+ years of NFL experience. And, you know, that's evidenced by the fact that the Falcons, you know, run the ball the second most in the NFL based off of percentage of plays. You know, they're second in rushing yards this season per game. They're sixth in rushing offense DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. They're second in usage of play action passing, which helps simplify reads for particularly a young quarterback like Desmond Ridder, in addition to a veteran quarterback like Marcus Mariota. One of the changes I'm optimistic that we may see from the Falcons that could help potentially raise the floor and or ceiling for this offense under Desmond Ridder that we didn't see under Marcus Mariota is utilizing more screens, right? To give him more of those high percentage plays off of screens. According to PFF, you know, the Falcons were kind of middle of the pack in terms of screen usage under Marcus Mariota. We know that Cordarrelle Patterson, based off of what he was last year, was very effective in that. But you also have players like Avery Williams, you know, Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley that can also be more effective on those screenplays with Desmond Ridder under the helm to give him some of those opportunities moving forward. You know, the other reason why I think the ceiling could be higher for Desmond Ridder is, you know, the fact that Marcus Mariota, you know, did not deliver when it came to the vertical elements of the offense. He was basically the worst deep ball passer in the league this season. And, you know, one of the things, arguments we made a couple of weeks ago, was like all he needed to be was league average, and that would greatly enhance this team's passing attack in a major way, and really make teams pay for, you know, stacking the box against this run heavy offense. And I'm optimistic that Desmond Ridder can produce at least at like a league average level, not be the league's worst deep ball passer. And I think that will raise the ceiling. And certainly in the event where the Falcons find themselves falling behind in a game, like they have done so often this year in several of their losses, that, you know, that ability to generate those explosive plays down the field will allow them to, you know, get back in the game where you don't have situations like we saw this past Sunday in the fourth quarter, where the Falcons need to go down and cut the lead to one score and have to bleed like 9 minutes off the clock because they have to be so reliant on running the football, which is only limiting their ability to put points on the board. So those are things that I believe will lead to an elevated floor and ceiling for, you know, Desmond Ridder running this offense moving forward. So I don't expect Arthur Smith to completely revamp the playbook in a major way, maybe some tweaks and adjustments. Another way that I think you could see this offense benefit with Desmond Ridder at the helm versus Marcus Mariota is you may see more under center stuff, right? And that can eliminate some of the snapping issues maybe that we've seen from Drew Dahlman this year that have, you know, caused problems for this offense, disrupted the timing, and has legitimately made Marcus Mariota a less effective passer if they can operate more under center and get more clean exchanges under Desmond Ridder, in part due to the fact that one of the things we've noted about Marcus Mariota, a weakness in this game, is he's not quite that great when it comes to utilizing the play action and turning his back to the defense. And that was something based off of what Desmond Ridder did at Cincinnati, as well as in the preseason, that seemed to be a non-issue for him, that he was much more decisive. He was throwing with much better anticipation in this offense. And I think that's going to lead to potentially elevating the ceiling of this offense, because you're going to see this passing game be in better rhythm. You know, another thing that could potentially elevate this offense is you could see a stronger rapport with Desmond Ridder and Drake London, certainly compared to where that rapport has seemingly deteriorated between London and Mariota in recent weeks, where they have not consistently been on the same page. Even with London coming off a career high 95 yards against the Steelers, it felt like there were plenty of yards left on the field. Like, that could have been 150 type yard game in whatnot. So that's another thing that if this passing game can be better, if you have your number one receiver consistently involved in the offense, like Drake London has the potential to be, that's another thing that can help raise the ceiling of this offense. And so, you know, obviously you do wonder about Ridder's inexperience, his youth, you know, that could create challenge, you know, going back to the issue of, you know, him being better, reacting quicker, playing faster, being more decisive, you know, because he's reacting quicker, that could lead to some mistakes, right? Because the speed of the game is going to be a lot faster going up against, you know, some of these defensive players and starters in the final four games than they were going up against those third stringers that we saw him, you know, consistently pick apart in the preseason. So, you know, that could lead to some rookie mistakes, but there's a reason why they're called rookie mistakes. And that's part of the reason why people were so critical of Marcus Mariota, because a guy that, you know, making 70 plus starts in his NFL career should not be making the same mistakes that we typically think rookies make. So there could be some growing pains with Desmond Ridder, but I think that's all part of the process. You know, we'll see how that manifests on the field. You know, I think the Falcons certainly have four winnable games here down the stretch of the season. Do I expect them to go 4-0 during that stretch? No. I think they can go 2-2 or better. But if you ask me, are the chances better that the Falcons go 4-0 under Desmond Ridder down the stretch and keep their playoff chances, you know, off life support and enhance those chances, bring them back from life support versus, you know, 4-0 under Marcus Mariota? I would certainly, for the aforementioned reasons, think that their chances of, you know, potentially running the table against some of these teams is certainly higher with Desmond Ridder moving forward than they are with Marcus Mariota. So, again, I'm not expecting the Falcons to suddenly start throwing the ball, you know, 35 times a game like a quote-unquote normal NFL offense is going to do. You're still going to probably see them throw the ball 20 or so times. You know, correlation is not causation, but this year when Marcus Mariota has thrown the ball 20 times or less, you know, the Falcons are 4-1. And when he throws the ball 21 times or more, they're 1-7. And, you know, my hope, my optimism is tied to the notion that if we get into a game, and there's a decent chance we'll see at least one or two of these games coming up in the final four, if we get into a game where, you know, Ridder is forced to throw the ball, say, 25 times, that you could see more performances like we saw earlier this season, more of those efficient performances like Mariota had against the 49ers, something closer to that level of performance from Desmond Ridder than we saw consistently out of Marcus Mariota, where that 49er game seems like such an outlier. And so for me, you know, 4-0 is certainly a possibility. I'm only hoping for 2-2. And the two wins I need the Falcons to get is against the Saints and against the Bucs. And if he gets those wins, if Ridder wins those games, he will be absolutely a legend here in Atlanta. If his first NFL start is going on the road into the Little Caesars and beating the Saints, you know, that automatically is going to put him in the pantheon on the Mount Rushmore of Falcons quarterbacks. That's as good a start, you know, other than maybe Matt Ryan. That's the best start any Falcons quarterback has had in NFL history, right? You know, it's up there with Tom Brady and Matt. Of course. But then, speaking of Tom Brady, if he was to get another win in week 18 and hand Tom Brady his first loss ever to the Atlanta Falcons and potentially his final game in front of the home crowd at Mercedes-Benz, then, you know, again, we would build a statue to Desmond Ridder in front of Mercedes-Benz Stadium at that point. So I think people should be absolutely excited. I understand cautious optimism here on this podcast. We're big believers in caution versus optimism, but I think this is one instance where I am legitimately optimistic about what these next four games can entail. And not only if Desmond Ridder lives up to, you know, the hype, the hope, the dreams, the positivity, all that stuff and more, then this is more than just a four game audition. Because again, I think based off of what we have seen from Desmond Ridder in the preseason, coupled with, you know, my belief that the plan all along has been for him to be their guy in 2023 and beyond, and that the Falcons are not as invested in finding a new quarterback this offseason as I think a lot of people assume that they would be, that you would typically expect a team with a third round pick. And you know, as we know, history tells us that the third round draft selections, particularly at the quarterback position, don't have a high hit rate. But I do feel like, again, going back to that previous point, because the Falcons sort of have a plan, you know, that they believe that in their ability to develop and build a team around Desmond Ridder moving forward. So, you know, obviously the possibility exists that he could absolutely struggle these next four games. I personally think that's a slim possibility, but it certainly could happen. And you know, if it does, then we'll adjust our expectations and our timeline about the future of the Falcons quarterback position from that point, but we'll cross that bridge if we get to it. And I don't think we will get to that bridge, moving forward. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll also probably talk a little bit more about some of my concerns about the 2023 draft class and why, you know, there may not be as better options than what, you know, the current option in Desmond Ridder is moving forward, but that will probably be a conversation for future, particularly in the off season. We'll wrap up today's episode talking a little bit about Marcus Mariota and what's next for him here in Atlanta. And, you know, what I will say about Marcus Mariota, despite the frequent criticism that we gave to him in the context of, you know, evolving the passing offense is what I tried to limit it to, rather than just simply saying he's a bad quarterback. I do think Mariota, relative to my expectations, lived up to my expectation. I thought he was relatively solid based off of those expectations. I expected this passing offense to be somewhere around league average. And if you look at metrics like adjusted net yards per attempt, right, you know, the Falcons last year under Matt Ryan were the 19th most efficient passing offense in the league using that metric. They were currently the 19th most efficient passing offense in the league this year under the first 13 games of Marcus Mariota. And one of the things we pointed out in the offseason was, you know, if you could get that, if you can make a lateral move at the quarterback position, so to speak, and you could do it for a fraction of the price that Marcus Mariota is costing this team relative to Matt Ryan, that is a win in this book. So I feel like Marcus Mariota accomplished the mission that at least I set out and wanted him to do here in Atlanta. And now I think moving forward, I do think there's still an opportunity for Marcus Mariota to remain in Atlanta, probably as a backup. That was something that back during the summer, I did not think was particularly likely that Marcus Mariota will be back in Atlanta beyond this season. But I do think he has done more than enough to earn that opportunity. I don't think he'll get too many opportunities as a starter moving forward in the NFL. And I think instead what you're going to be looking for with Marcus Mariota is kind of him turning into this Matt Schaub-esque sort of backup quarterback that has a lot of starting experience, would be the ideal guy in the event of an injury to Desmond Ridder or somebody else as the Falcons starter could be inserted in the lineup, and you have a real chance to win that football game, given his experience. You know, you compare it to Matt Schaub, who began and ended his career in Atlanta, but Matt Schaub started 6.5 seasons in Houston, and then spent 10 years, most of that in Atlanta as a backup. And Mariota's, you know, started 5.5 years in the NFL. And he has only had 2 years as a backup, but I could certainly see, you know, 7 or 8 more years for Marcus Mariota playing out the rest of his career as a backup quarterback and sort of being that extra set of eyes in the room for a young quarterback like Desmond Ridder or somebody else like Matt Schaub was. Maybe not for the older Matt Ryan, but certainly helping him in that regard and kind of like what Chris Redman was for a young Matt Ryan early in his career. So in order to make that happen, you'd probably restructure Mariota's contract at some point this offseason, but we'll sort of cross that bridge when we get to it. So guys, again, you know, I think Desmond Ridder era is here. I'm excited and optimistic about, you know, this being more than just 4 games. But of course, sound off in the comments, you know, do you think this is a 4-game audition or do you think this regime has a long-term plan for development of Desmond Ridder moving forward? So let me know in the comments. Of course, you can provide your other feedback on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, via email at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com, as well as leaving hit me up in the Discord, the link in the description below. So that's going to do it for us, guys. I hope you have a great weekend now that you can, you know, ride high on this buzz. The Desmond Ridder era is finally here. We'll get more from Arthur Smith, you know, at the beginning of next week. We got more to come, you know, in this bye week. We spent most of this week talking about the quarterback position, but I do want to take this sort of time off to look elsewhere on the roster, do some positional evals, talk a little bit about, you know, players deserving of the Pro Bowl, look back at the season and sort of pause and reflect a little bit now that, you know, we're 3/4 of the way through this 2022 season. So that will be, you know, on deck for us, you know, next week. But in the meantime, enjoy the weekend, watch some, you know, stress-free football because the Falcons are off this weekend, and imagine, you know, sit there and watch Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and envision, you know, Desmond Ridder making some of those plays. You know, you can live in that fantasy. I give you my position to live in that fantasy for the next couple of days on Sunday. So guys, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. Till then.